going down for real. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Happy hump day, everybody. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Yesterday, we had the Browns offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, on the show. If you missed it, it was picked up kind of all around the country, which was great to see. Some good positive press for the Browns about their young offensive coordinator. Again, you could get that interview in its entirety at clevelandbrowns.com or on the Browns mobile app. But we've got a lot to talk about today in the Ohio Business Machine's Hot Topics. Number one, huge trade in the NFL went down yesterday. LeSean McCoy from the Eagles for Kiko Alonso from the Bills, swapping places. Chip Kelly going bananas. And I'll tell you what, this trade, I want to know what people think. Who do you think won this trade? Number one, that's going to be one of our hot topics. Who won this trade in your mind? LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso, one for one, straight up deal. Number two, is the notion or the value, let's say the value, because there will be star running backs, but has the value of the star running back been completely eliminated in the NFL? And that's something to think about, and we're going to talk about that today. So think about that. We'll get into that in a second, Matt. Also, the Bills making another trade today, acquiring Matt Cassel from the Minnesota Vikings for some late draft picks. Did a little swap from a fifth and the sixth this year, and threw in a seventh. And what that means, and we'll have Mike Garofalo on later today, talk about the quarterback landscape. It means Brian Hoyer likely to be out of an opportunity to come in as a starter. The Bills, we know, wanted Josh McCown. He was number one on their list. The Browns got him. Number two on their list apparently was Matt Cassel, who they traded for and now have there in Buffalo. Mike Garofalo from Fox will be with us at 1:30 to talk about the trades from yesterday, talk about the McCown signing for the Browns. Andrew Gribble will be with us as well at 2. It's Mailbag Wednesday, so get in your questions using the hashtag mailbag to at Nathan Zagura, at Browns underscore daily, and, of course, my man at Matt Wilhelm 35. But, Matt, I was sitting there watching the TV yesterday. I was actually on NFL Network, and all of a sudden, boom, trade McCoy for Kiko Alonso. They happen to have CJ Spiller in studio,
yes,
who gets a call from the Bills saying, thank you for your service. You're no longer going to be a Bill ever again. And then they're saying you should be going to Philadelphia. Just kind of a wild string of events, but what an interesting trade.
It is really interesting, and what's interesting to me is, again, I know that LeSean McCoy's production had gone down last year and was disappointing to many, you know, fantasy owners who took him number one overall, expecting him to mimic his 2013 performance and or top his 2013 performance. But what's very shocking to me, and I'm not discounting by any means Kiko Alonso's ability as a football player, it's very shocking to me how diverse a player like Shady McCoy is and what an integral part of an offense he can be and was throughout his entire career for a linebacker. You know, and I'm not saying that Kiko Alonso was ordinary. He's above ordinary, but yet he's had one very good season in the National Football League, and he's recovering from an ACL surgery. Now, I don't discount by any means that he'll be ready to play, but as we've seen time and time again, Sam Bradford's had multiple knee injuries. You know, Thomas Davis in Carolina has had multiple ACL surgeries on both legs, you know, twice on the same leg. So you're inheriting, somewhat of a trending upward player, but coming off of an injury, very similar to the way Brian Hoyer, we didn't know what to expect with him coming back from injury. So very interesting to see someone, both dynamic players, but someone as explosive as Shady McCoy is and can be in the right system for a defensive player. Because also, too, is just as we'll talk, the running back position is being devalued in the National Football League. You know, that middle linebacker, you know, in a lot of defenses is just a tackle machine. You know, and that's why we were so enamored to go get a guy like Carlos Dansby, who's a stat-filling middle linebacker.
Akin to Ray Lewis, but we don't want to get too carried away with that. Now, I believe that the Eagles robbed the Buffalo Bills blind. I really believe that from a football standpoint, the Eagles robbed the Bills blind. For the second year in a row, the Bills have been pillaged and plundered in a trade. I thought the Browns did it to them last year with two firsts for one, and I think that they are got it done to them again this year. Yes, running backs are important. LeSean McCoy, one of the best. The last three seasons where he's received at least 270 carries, he's rushed for at least 1,300 yards. Last year, 1,309 yards, 5 touchdowns, 29 catches, 155. wasn't necessarily Chip Kelly didn't think he was as good a fit for his offense as maybe some other people could be. They wanted more of a slasher. Why was this such a good move, and why do I believe the Bills dominated this trade? You're getting rid of a running back who's led the league in carries for the last few years, who's 27 years old, probably has a couple good years left, making about $11.25 million against the cap. The Eagles are saving about $8 million in cap room by making the trade. The difference in salary is about $10 million, but they get some dead money for McCoy taking on Alonzo's $795,000 salary, which if he plays as he did as a rookie, you have him for this year, you have him for another year on a rookie deal,
and a restricted year.
So it's really 3 years of a guy in his prime.
At less than $1 million.
Yeah, maybe the third year will be a tender where he's at $2 million, something like that. So in terms of getting a great middle linebacker, you've gotten that for cheap. You have a 27-year-old running back for a 22-year-old linebacker. Now, Kiko Alonso played for Chip Kelly, no surprise, at the University of Oregon. So Philly has now cleared yesterday, with the other moves they made, about $30 million in cap. They have an opportunity easily, if they want to, they can draft a running back this year to come in and play for cheap. You can sign a free agent running back for at most $3.5 million.
And in some cases, the guys that pop out in my head that would fit that system, I wouldn't be surprised if Chip Kelly goes out and tries to make a play for LaMichael James, who's played for him as well at Oregon. A guy like Kendall Hunter, you know, those small, shiftier backs that have been underutilized in a non-Chip Kelly system that would come in and fit that Chip Kelly system to a T. Because I think that just like a quarterback, as I've talked in my Buckeye work, is Cardale Jones, JT Barrett, Braxton Miller. It's the system. Not so much the quarterbacks. Yes, they have to be talented, but for that system flourishes. And I think that a running back can be interchangeable in this Chip Kelly system, which is why the Philadelphia Eagles, again, are making out like champs, getting rid of such a high number. And just as the Cleveland Browns are adding multiple quarterbacks for the cost of what we might have paid Brian Hoyer as a starter, you're going to get multiple running backs for the cost you would have had Shady McCoy for.
And it goes to the fact, yes, so two things. Number one, I think that the Eagles absolutely made a great trade here. Number two, the running back, star running back, is devalued. Think about this. There is a very realistic chance that LeSean McCoy, DeMarco Murray, the league's leading rusher, Adrian Peterson, and Marshawn Lynch will all play for different teams next year than they played for the year before. And those are four of the great running backs. In the old days, you would have done everything you could to keep those running backs. And now that is not the case. Look at Denver. They were able to plug in C.J. Anderson. Look at your Super Bowl champions. They had role-playing running backs, LeGarrette Blount, Shane Vereen. They didn't have that superstar running back.
Look at the Cleveland Browns. You know, Ben Tate was going to be the guy. He was going to get his opportunity to shine as a free agent, leaving Houston from the shadows of Arian Foster. Couldn't cut it. Attitude was a problem. But yet we, you know, interjected two young players, very inexperienced as rookies, and they took off and had that same success behind a very good offensive line.
That's what you should do. As we go along and we get into this running back discussion with you, I'm going to unveil, if I were a general manager in the National Football League, there I would have some rules about running backs. We'll get to those in a second. I do think they have an opportunity. McCoy is 26, and Roger says he'll turn 27 before the season starts. That's why I'm calling him a 27-year-old running back for purposes of playing in this season in the NFL. Now, you look at the running back position, it has certainly been devalued. And you're going to see teams replace pricey veterans with a great running back class. I still think they're going to go up and get Mariota. Now that Chip Kelly's in charge, I think he's making no bones about it. He's going to get his guys and get his system, and the quarterback's the key to his system. I think he believes a running back could be anybody. Look at all the guys who had success in that Oregon system that have come to the NFL. Have any of them been great running backs? LaMichael James? No. Kenyon Barton? No. When you look at DeAnthony Thomas, these guys were super successful with Chip because he believes in his system.
Yeah.
But he doesn't think that this system is what you necessarily needs that star running back. Now, if he wants to, I think Melvin Gordon would look great in that offense. But you could go into the middle rounds. You could get a Duke Johnson. You can maybe get a Tevin Coleman. I think if you even get a J.I.J., Amir Abdullah, I think they could get a running back in the second round, still trade a couple firsts to go up and get Marcus Mariota, and he's going to have what he wants. Or you can sign, apparently they're interested in Mark Ingram, who would be like a LeGarrette Blount was in that offense, kind of a physical downhill guy, a one-cut guy. So I think that when you think about the cost savings they made, the flexibility they've retained, this was a very, very good move, again, for the Philadelphia Eagles. You may not get everything you got from LeSean McCoy, but with a couple of guys you can get that because he believes so much in his system. What he wants is his quarterback, and if he gets his quarterback, then he's going to say he doesn't care. He doesn't care.
And now, by again, cutting Trent Cole, cutting Williams, the corner, and now trading away Shady McCoy, he goes and gets his guy, and he's got the room to add around that player, his guy in his system. And in some cases, Chip Kelly, like a lot of coaches, is a control freak. He has a specific system that he believes can succeed in the National Football League the same way he did at Oregon. And now that he's got control over personnel, he's doing everything he can to go out and build that to succeed in Philly and win a championship.
That's exactly what he is doing, and this is why he wanted power, and now he's implementing his plan. Now, will it succeed or will it fail? We'll find out, but this was a smart move for long term. This was a very smart move. They can find a guy who's going to be in this scheme as productive as Sean McCoy. Who was the most productive running back in the National Football League over, say, the last 6 weeks of the season? Just think about that for a second. We can answer that when we come back. But who is the most productive running back in the NFL over basically, from week 12 on last year?
Is it C.J. Anderson?
It is C.J. Anderson. So C.J. Anderson was the best back in the league, and that's the guy who stepped in and was what?
And through week 6 of the football season, you would have went, C.J. who?
Through week 9, he had, 58 and 9 is 67 minus 3, 64. He had 82 yards rushing through the first 9 games of the season. He finished the year with 849 yards, 8 touchdowns, 324 yards receiving, and 2 touchdowns.
780 yards to finish the season, roughly.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, he did that down the stretch with 8 touchdowns.
That's in Peyton Manning's system there in Denver.
That's in 6 games we're talking about. He did that. So, very impressive. C.J. Anderson came in and was incredibly productive. I think you can find running backs. We'll talk about it. In terms of, how it goes, we're going to talk about it in terms of what you would do with the running backs. Do you think they are being devalued? Who do you think is winning this trade? I'm very curious because I think when you hear LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso, your first reaction is, oh my God, whoever got LeSean McCoy killed. And that's part of fantasy football as well. But I think in real NFL with salaries, ages, values, and the value of that position, you look at the fact that the Eagles, and Rodgers wants to acknowledge that Josh McCown is 36 instead of 35. Fine, Josh, I don't care. He's at the end of his career.
Fine.
He could be 40. Doesn't make a difference.
My big oh, by the way, is that Philly defense was a mess last year and lost them football games.
And they're going to spend a lot of money on that defense.
And they're going to spend a lot of money on that defense. And again, they're going to get a 4-year starter or a 3-year starter before they have to pay him significantly, in this season, next season, and that restricted year. They're going to pay $4 million for a guy that might be in the Pro Bowl the next 3 years.
Yes, they will. And that's, again, Rex Ryan wants to run that ground and pound. I think it's a good fit for him. I'm not saying Rex Ryan's not going to reap benefits for it, but I'm talking about overall team building. It's amazing. If you're looking at the Bills, all of a sudden you got Rex Ryan as your coach, Matt Castle's your quarterback, and of course LeSean McCoy is your running back. So maybe 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Interesting to see, though, that how the quarterbacks were viewed in the National Football League. Josh McCown was the number one guy on the market. It is now apparent, and I think that for the people who want to talk about it, it is certainly apparent now that he is the guy, that he was the number one guy in the NFL's
regardless of age.
In the NFL's mind. Number two, you had maybe a mix of people, but Matt Castle to the team that was the most needy of a starter, Matt Castle went there. And you even have now Mike Florio saying on Pro Football Talk, Brian Hoyer could be a candidate to replace Castle as the backup to Teddy Bridgewater. Hoyer played for Norv Turner in Cleveland in 2013. That's Mike Florio saying that on Pro Football Talk, tweeted it 3 minutes ago. So, and as Bill Barnwell said, Josh McCown was the starting quarterback on literally the worst offense and team in football, and there was a bidding war for him. So evaluators look at more than just people throw out, he was 1-10. They look at situations. They look at performance in situations. They look at what happened with his offensive coordinator there. They look at what happened with the people around him in the line. So he has an opportunity. He was the guy that the NFL viewed as the top free agent quarterback, like it or not. He's off the market now. Castle was then who the Bills stepped up and decided to get. They didn't even wait for free agent to see what kind of a deal they could cut with somebody. They made a trade before free agency opened, and they went and they got Matt Castle.
And what you have to love is, as you said, the NFL viewed Josh McCown as the number one free agent at the quarterback position. What you have to be encouraged about is that your Cleveland Browns went out and sought the number one asset by many analysts in the National Football League as the number one free agent. We have him now. Whether he's the starter, a spot starter, or whatever role he's going to play. And in some cases, I've heard, different shows or different analysts talk about the fact that, he's accepting that backup role. That is not the case. Listen to the teleconference. Listen to Josh McCown's comments. He'll accept the role. He's a good guy. He's a team player. But he wants to start. You know, he wants to change the tide, and he took responsibility for that 1-10, you know, in Tampa Bay for being a bad, some bad decisions on a bad team. You know, and it kind of, and it snowballed down there in Tampa, which is why, in fact, they're choosing number one overall.
No question. Now, Bill Barnwell also adding, to be fair, said they already have a job for good locker room guys with professional experience who can mentor young quarterbacks. It's called a coach. Talking about Josh McCown, which is a fair point.
True, for a lot less than $6 million.
Clearly, the NFL thought that he could play still. That's why he was the guy most sought after. All the teams that had those kind of opportunities looked to offer him. It is interesting. I do think that actually what Mike Florio said makes a lot of sense. I think when you think about Brian Hoyer's skill set, similar to that of Teddy Bridgewater, and he's played with Norv Turner. So perhaps he has an opportunity to go ahead, and that's where he will end up. But I think right now, in terms of finding a place where he can be a starting quarterback, that's going to be a challenge going forward. Who won the big trade yesterday? What do you think about the quarterback landscape around the National Football League? And what do you think about running backs? When we come back, I'm going to tell you that if I was a general manager, here would be my rules for the running back position. What would yours be? Also, get your mailbag questions to us using the hashtag mailbag at Browns_daily, at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 35. Rock and rolling here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Still to come, Fox Sports 1's Mike Garofalo at 1:30, Andrew Gribble at 2. And we'll get into the mailbag as we roll on here on CBD.
Like the legend of the Phoenix, all ends with beginning.